Okay, does anybody want to talk about anything? Some special event or dream or anything?
I had something earlier, but I can't remember. Maybe it'll come back later.
Okay.
Yesterday or the day before, I was like, oh, that's something we can talk about on Monday. I can't remember now.
Oh, no, if I don't write it down, man, it's just gone.
I have a little something. Remember, I don't know, quite a few weeks ago, I was talking about my dreams and realizing, like, it's just like being alive at night. I'm alive at day, and then, like, I'm alive at night. Like, my dreams are life, not just, like, a little snippet of a dream. And what I realized as watching my dreams more and more, watching myself being myself, is I do the same things in the dream as I'm doing it in daytime. So I can see myself doing Cabin Boy and, what was it? My declaration was my commonality is my ordinary is extraordinary. Roger figured that out. So anyway, all the things that I noticed, the same patterns are actually happening in that dream life now. And it's really neat. So it's like I'm alive 24/7 now. Instead of sleeping for me and being, you know, awake for the other time. So that's just an observation I've noticed.
Okay.
Can you wake up refreshed?
Oh, yeah.
Are you awake?
Say again?
Are you awake now?
Yeah. Maybe not. Well, yeah, I know I am because I'm getting ready to get cold to go out and put the horses in. So, yeah, I'm awake.
She's truly in a state of awakening. How about that?
There you go. Anyway, I just thought it was quite interesting because when I first started with Roger and Misty in the classes at Angela's, my dreams were little snippets and they were little scenarios, let's say. But now it's completely changed to where I'm just doing a life all night long. And it's really neat. I'm meeting all these people. I've never seen them before. I'm going to all these places I've never been before. And I'm very aware, and I'm even aware when I'm there that it's not my day me. I'm very aware that I'm like, wow, look at this. You know, and I'm aware I'm asleep. I'm aware I'm in this other world at night, living this other life. And it's just been more and more phenomenal that, you know, it's just really, really neat. That's all I can say. So thanks, Misty and Roger, for awakening me to that. Because before, you know, dreams were, even before I started all of this, dreams were hit and miss. A lot of nights, there were no dreams. Or you might just remember the tail end of a dream or wake up with a feeling, but that was it, right? And so as I've been doing this work with you guys, I'm more and more aware of my other self.
Okay.
Yeah, really cool. So thank
Sounds
you.
Good.
And I'm going on mute because I'm going out to put the horses in and make a little noise. So I'll be here, but not here.
Okay.
Good to hear you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, then I guess if nobody else has anything else that they want to talk about or discuss, we'll get back to Communion. And we're at number 206. And
yes.
We'll put Andrew to start the gun.
Okay, 206. Once you know and experience the nature and potency of communion, even to a small degree or short time, doubt and fear seldom enter your mind or body or life. And matters are seldom continued as issues. That's a very desirable image. Mm.
Okay. Okay, just fixing my book.
And
so.
I can tell you that I don't always have that clarity. That would be really neat to have.
What clarity?
Well, it says doubt and fear seldom enter your mind or body or life. And,
yeah, if there's that communion.
Yeah, within communion, then doubt, it would seem that doubt and fear slip away.
Yeah.
And no it and no issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Down here.
207. I guess that would be Karen.
Consider what communion enfoldment must be like. For you cannot judge in communion. Communion, like memory, is eternal. And communion is the finest expression of your eternal self as a condition of godness, and is the very essence and nature of your being and body. Therefore, all of your attention should be centered in communion, and your mind in the consciousness of communion.
That was a should statement. It caught me by surprise that you wrote that.
Well, when he uses a should, he always uses it in the sense that if you want this, then you should.
I see.
This one's a mouthful. Consider what communion enfoldment must be like. And what do we think enfoldment means here? That just simply communioning, or what's enfoldment?
I would say that in this sense it is that is the way you live continuously.
So that would enfold that I'm enfolding is like I'm bringing something together, and I'm bringing, maybe it's enfoldment is that I bring communion around my existence, that I'm enfolded into the communion.
Yeah, that you're totally engulfed in it, that's what you do, that's what you are.
Okay. Then he states that can't judge within communion or in communion, and communion is like memory. Like memory is eternal, and communion is the finest expression of your eternal self as a condition of godness. And that's the eternal self as a condition of godness. Is that correct?
Yes.
And is the very essence and nature of your being and body. Therefore, all of your attention should be centered in communion, and your mind in the consciousness of communion. Consciousness, would it be a mistake to substitute awareness?
Well, it's basically, that's where your mind and thoughts dwell.
Okay, this passage is very, very, very powerful.
Okay.
Is that Dudley?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, can be my tea bottle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Sorry.
Number 208. Unless somebody else has something more to say on that one. Okay. You can declare and enliven yourself as an internal privileged being at this very moment and be a living example for all to see and be inspired by your communion. This is one of those that he talks about as being just a thought away. It's up to you to decide whether you will or you won't.
Devil. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, and like Roger always made it seem that he was, you know, in control and aware of all his communion. Well, I see it as like a wild ride. It's like, you never know what's coming next, you know?
No, I don't think that Roger would agree with that. If you are living this way, then it becomes self-evident that how your life will unfold. There is no wild ride.
Uh-huh.
If you're surprised by anything in your life, then you're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm. I gotta pay attention here. I'm gonna try. I try.
Don't we all?
Communion all the time, but it's just like, woo. Lip, flop, here, there.
Okay.
It all comes together, though.
If it didn't, you wouldn't be here. Okay, so,
Alright.
209 is Patrick.
It is. You can show others how you live in communion with all things as they are, and simultaneously as you are without becoming one. And when you really think about it, isn't that the grandest self in life of all? To be individual in communion, not lost, forsaken, in oneness. Are you willing to grant and protect the same privilege of individuality and communion to all others and to all things in the universe?
Susan, go shoot that pokey.
Oh, we got frogs there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I can go mute in a minute.
Ah, they cookie frogs, huh?
Oh, and when I was reading it, simultaneously as you are, without becoming one, not becoming one.
Does that mean without becoming? I'm not sure what that means. Without
well,
becoming
communion means
one
that
with all.
Yeah, that the oneness, as people talk about, and Roger talked about that a lot. That if there is that, then there is no individuality, and
right.
All that, and that's what he's referring to in that. In communion, it is as if you are in oneness, but aren't. You still maintain your individuality and all of that goes with that.
So, the communion stays at two-ness then?
Oh yeah, always.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or more.
Mm.
Yeah.
Andrew reminded us a while back about multitude.
Okay. 210. That would be Sharon.
Is it me?
Be Sharon.
Oneness is death. Oneness is death, and individuality is life. Individuality in communion is illumination.
Okay,
that
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, Simone.
211. As you appear and act as an individual, you seem to be one person. However, you are not one person and cannot be or remain one person. Yet, in privilege, personal being, privileged being, communion, you do appear and feel and act as a simple individual and seem to be one person. And that being in communion, is your illuminate being. And even more, with you have always sensed, which you have always sensed, but not realized directly for a long time.
To me, this is some pretty exciting stuff to understand how that all comes together. I don't know about you guys.
Well, very definitely, Missy, very definitely.
Anybody have any questions or statements?
Yeah, so if he says you're not one person, and he purposely said, well, so then you are, what?
What do you mean?
A multitude, a communion, but are we more than one person?
Well, he's talking about the personal being, privileged being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that together you are in communion and act as one.
And this leads you to expressing as an illuminated being.
Yeah, you seem to be one person, but you're not.
Yeah.
You're always that two-ness, yeah. Or more.
Yeah.
Because there are corded individuals that have more. Did that answer your question, Karen, or are you still confused?
Yeah, yep, yep, I think so.
Okay. Then we're on to Susan.
Hi, 212. I'm not gonna click again. Believing that the goal of life is liberation from physical embodiment and life is foolishness. For that belief alone confines you to struggle and pain, while fully immersing yourself in communion with your eternal self in life, as you have declared yourself to be, liberates you from the confinement of oneness and frees you to a communion that appears singular. Yeah, if you're in communion, you can't be singular.
Yeah, but
really,
but you appear that way. Just like
right.
Any one of us appears as, to us, just one thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you're single and you die, you're both dead, okay? And so that's what we struggle against, is dying.
Constantly. But it's only the personal being that dies.
Yeah.
Okay. So the
communion is the best state of the best, allow me that. Best state of being for expressing who you are to be.
So. You saying something?
Yeah,
you?
Urgent.
Yeah.
I thought I heard Patrick saying something, but I didn't catch it.
He said something about emergent.
No. I said that. Susan said that.
Oh.
Is being in communion being emergent? Yes.
The illuminated being is emergent.
The illuminated being is emergent, but the personal privilege is not emergent?
What? The personal being is the being of the body. Privileged being is the being of the eternal, right?
Yeah, but when they communion, that
they
is,
become both constituents.
can't forget my question.
As Misty pointed out, you are a physical being, a personal being, and embodied with you is an eternal being, a privileged being, and when you communion, what is emergent is illuminated being.
Yeah. So both are constituents of the emergent.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so the eliminated. Okay, that was my question. So the illuminated being is the emergent
of the communion of the two.
Yeah.
Of the person. Oh, okay. All right. Uh huh. So at the it seemed okay. All right. The communion is not the emergent. It's the communion of those two things that's emergent.
Yes.
All right. I put communion as at the top of the list for.
Communion, Susan, I think might help. Communion is an action.
Uh-huh.
And when you act in communion with your privileged being and your personal being, what is emerging is illuminated being.
Okay. Emergent. Is an action too, right? Or
no, you act and something is emerging.
Okay. All right. I'll think about that. Let's clear a few things up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you.
Okay, we're back around to you, Andrew.
312.
13.
They're leaving. I'm sorry?
13.
Sorry. Thank you. Are you willing to live and experience the expansiveness of your communion rather than constantly struggling to earn or gain oneness or some degree of individual distinctiveness?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. I guess we're around to Karen.
Yes. Karen?
You good to go?
Unless somebody else has something to say.
Are you willing to take an active and intimate role in a mutually dependent and supportive relationship with your privileged being? Are you willing to take back this vital part of yourself that you've denied and disowned for so long, but which has never denied or disowned you? Are you willing to unite with what you have forsaken but not lost?
I would imagine all of us would say
yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Very definitely yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Susan, that what we talked about a moment ago about action, 214 is talking about the action. Are you willing to take an active and intimate role in a mutually supportive relationship? That is the communion.
Mm-hmm. Active, uh-huh. Your privilege being. That's always there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how you put it.
Yeah.
Forsaken but not lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and to communion with it, we just bring it alive. Is that how we do it? Like live our declarations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's
dialogue, talk.
Years ago, Andrew used to write letters to his privileged being as a way of inducing that communion, bring it alive in reality.
Yeah.
In reality, through the personal being. It would be useful to give our privileged being a name rather than
Is that like cabin boy and things like that?
Well, whatever you want to call it, but instead of us saying, hey, you, I know you're there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, Sharon was talking about having done this recently. Not a name per se, but interacting more as a, right? Or, man, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Sharon, but you said you were talking.
That's what I've actually, it's difficult because, you know, we do always fall back into our old ways. And so I've had to kick myself in the butt and say, wake up, talk to this person or this being. And her name is Morgan.
Oh, sweet.
And so I've been trying to say, good morning, how's our day going? You know, I'm glad you're with me today, and I'm listening. You know, just to kind of get it, see what I can do with this. Why not?
Mm-hmm. To find an illuminated spot.
Well, no, I believe in the existence. I just can't believe that I didn't realize that it was me all this time.
Yeah, and it's very helpful.
Yeah.
I do write letters since quite a year now. Yeah. From time to time, and yeah.
I have also, but I never knew it was me I was writing letters to.
Oh. Yeah.
So when we have those private little conversations that we say over and over again, kind of in the back of our mind, but we're like,
well, just
talking about privileged being.
Well, how about this? I think every one of us, to one degree or another, does self-talk.
Yeah, right.
I suspect most people who have a share a little bit with what I experience, my self-talk is often not very complimentary of myself.
Is that so?
And it might be a hint here that convert that self-talk into the continual talk with the eternal being, the privileged being, instead of that other stuff that doesn't do me much good at all. That's an idea I'm going to adopt now, that at the moment I wake up, I'm going to say, good morning, how are you doing, Gabriel? Go from there. What are we up to today?
Mm-hmm.
I think it has to be that active, or it's just an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You faded off.
I moved the phone a little bit closer to Karen in Africa.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I think it has to be that active, or it's just an idea that's fun to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so too. But when I'm writing, it helps me more to think about how I want to express. This is for me helpful, yes.
Okay, Patrick, you want to read the next one?
Who's next?
You are.
You. Oh. You are not merely guided in life. Are intimately partnered, and of course this partnership is mutual even when neglected, and reveals you as an illuminated being. Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody got that?
I think so. I actually got a question.
Yes.
Okay, Pat.
You got a question, Simone?
No, I just said it's very nice that you are intimately partnered. Yeah, I like that expression very much. Yeah.
So what I wanted to ask about was the last two sets of phrases. Even when neglected and reveals you as an illuminated being. Does that suggest even when the relationship is neglected, that reveals something about the illuminated being?
Always, yeah. Just, you know, just to what degree. If you're really actively doing communion and you realize it, then it's going to be a whole lot more.
So that the illuminated being isn't something that turns on and off.
No, no, it always exists.
It exists.
It exists.
Mm-hmm. And it will be relative to the degree to which we are intimately partnering with the privileged being.
Well, it exists whether you do it a little or a lot, but you're going to realize it a whole lot more if you do it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you don't do it active, then it's more by default.
Yes.
And when you do it actively, then it's not by default, then it comes to awareness that the communion exists.
So if you rule that, if that end statement is true, the way we're discussing about it, rolls back to the beginning, then a neglected partnership is a guide in my life as well. And I may not like where I'm guiding myself.
True.
No, I think that's different, Pat.
Yeah, I think so, too. This is talking about your enlightenment.
This is what was guiding you. And it's...
Well, if I'm not... If I'm
and not what you're guiding. Not what you're...
If I'm neglecting that relationship, that just in the process of that neglect, am I not guiding my life? I might not like what I'm doing, and I may be struggling.
Well, you might like what you're doing though, and it's just not as illuminated.
It's still emergent of all the choices you make.
Huh?
It's still the emergent of all the choices that you make, all the constituents,
mm-hmm.
all the everything.
Yeah.
And so if you're living by default, then that is a choice, and that will play in the emergent.
Yeah.
But it's not because you're being negative.
No.
It's just...
Well, whatever it is. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
You can't pretend it's not happening.
No. It is
right.
Happening, but one is so much finer, and allow me that, than the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or should we say desirable? With so many don't...
But you just... They
don't know that it even exists.
It kind of sounds like you can't see your own guidance as well.
Well, they're really, you know...
When you neglect it, you can't see your own guidance.
Well, what do you define as guidance? What is guidance?
Yeah.
No, you just you're putting that on it.
What is guidance?
Well, why don't we read the next one?
Well, wait a minute.
What'd you say?
Wait a minute. Because guidance means that there's something else other than you that is guiding you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's only you.
No, there's your and you're pushing on your privilege and you're illuminated. And your illuminated being guides you.
That means you are guiding yourself then.
Yeah, but not in the active way that I think people think about guidance.
Oh yeah,
yes, sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. That in communion is an entirely different effect.
It's really just by every choice that you make, everything that you do.
Right.
It's not like you're trying to
I do think by neglected, by neglection. Is that a word to use? Neglection?
No.
this is the action.
Did that ever hold Roger back?
To become a constituent for the emergent too. Yeah.
Yep. Even neglect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything is in play.
Neglect is not paying attention.
Every little thing
is
in play.
But it is a constituent. Not paying attention is also a constituent.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So is doubt. So is denial.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is what you make up and make real.
Right.
All distractions.
Can you see it from this side, Susan?
So you're communing with doubts and stuff like that? You're communing with...
No, it's not that you're communing
with
it.
Doubt.
No.
Huh?
It's not that you're communing with it, it's that you're living it. That's an action.
Right. So you haven't communed then?
No. It doesn't
well,
mean
I
that
think
you...
that I, you know, maybe I'm...
Go ahead, Andrew.
Maybe I made a mistake here. I thought that, and I made an assumption, but I thought that, so to make it simple as possible, I thought that anything that is my thoughts, feelings, and actions, that's me, but anything you want to call it in the world around me, that's what I communion with. That's what communion is. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong with that.
That's a different...
And other. This section is called the otherness of you. Yeah, so thank you for my... That's exactly what I was going to say. Yes. Okay, right.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's another type of communion. That's not the type that we're talking about here.
Another piece I think is worth bringing up in this context is that I seem to remember Roger reminding us not to set eternal being up into some goody-goody two-shoes that has all the good advice and this and that and will make everything good in our shitty life.
Yeah, because that's what people did with their higher
don't
selves.
Lay that on eternal being.
Right.
And the guidance the loop that we have from communion is the act of communion and relationship between the two that becomes so much more. It's not that the illuminated being starts giving us good advice. I don't think that's what's intended here.
Well, it guides us.
No.
The communion does.
The communion... you've got to. It's your actions that guide you. You don't have something coming back to you saying that it's guiding you.
I know it's a little confusing. I think you got to try it. I think really just like what Pat said earlier, try writing a letter to, talking to, like Sharon said, you got to experience this stuff first to realize. I mean, just you got to do it even though you don't know what you're doing. I hate to tell you that. But
right,
once you do
right,
it, I think
right.
you'll start to see that you're actually more involved in this whole process than it sounds like when you talk about it as two separate, which you can understand once you've been doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so vastly different from you that you would be stunned.
No, and I just remember Roger always said also that actually the loner body is at the same time the eternal being. You are not different, actually.
Mm-hmm. Susan, can you mute when you're not talking because you're getting mic cookies to start
okay.
going?
Okay.
Sorry about that.
All right. Don't be shy about talking, though.
No, don't be shy about it, but when you're not, just helps mine stay settled because they're kind of quiet right now. I'd like to keep it that way. But I can hear him starting to rev up.
I think her cokie frogs are bigger than yours.
Yeah, well, mine are starting to answer hers, and I'd rather they not.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Hey guys, it's just here. I have, I think, a great example of what you're talking about right now. It happened to me today.
Okay.
And we're talking about doing that communion 24/7 without forcing it, but just allowing it to be emergent. And so I do this communication thing a lot by talking to myself. I don't write the letters or anything, but of course I did give my other, I just call it my unseen self, a name. And so today I just wanted to call my mom and tell her how great and fantastic things, whole things happened to me on Sunday. And I asked my, kind of talking to myself and just said, should I call now? And then I wait and listen for an answer. And it was like, no. So I just went around and did some more stuff, and it wasn't like I heard a no, it was just I felt a no. And then I was outside doing, doing little things, and all of a sudden I got that urge that just said, like, call now. So I did. I was out there busy. Normally I wouldn't do that, but I just dialed the phone and called now. And so in the process of leaving a message because she wasn't home, actually my brother had walked in the door and heard me talking, which was, actually, he doesn't live there. He lives on the property, but for him to walk in at that moment and hear my voice, because, of course, you're only going to leave like a 30-minute set, you know, a 30-second message, right? So the timing was so awesomely perfect, and then I found out today that my aunt had a stroke. So by calling, you know, having this communion information, I, you know, dialed at the right time. My brother answered the phone, even though he was just up there putting his clothes in the dryer. And I found out, and then I was able to call my mom, which is at my aunt's house, and find out how my aunt was doing. So that was just like, to me, a really great example of that communioning, other self giving me, not direction, but it's sort of like an inspiration of a moment or, you know, what to do in a moment. Should I do this now or should I do it later? So that's the way it kind of works for me in really working my communion.
Okay. Did that help? Okay, so we're on to the next passage. Which would be Sharon?
Is that one 217? 217?
216.
16. Okay. Taking an interest in this intimate partnership requires desire, reflection, and appreciation, and above all, remembrance, which is bringing directly to mind, not through memories. Are you willing to be a romantic and fall in love with yourself again? And feel emotionally energetic and excited like a youth again? And feel guided and empowered again? Or will you forsake all of that again for your language, self, and life as usual?
Once again, point paints a really attractive picture. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, really. We're all in the change line. Or drop the old way, or whatever, however the correct way to say it is.
Just start a new way.
Yeah. Begin again.
And the old way is gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's only there if we bring it in.
Okay, Simone. 217, please.
217. If you are willing to stop living yourself and life only as declared by languaging and being living your finest dreams of who you are and will be eternally, you are ready to begin bringing your privileged being directly to mind and living as a mutually supportive couple again in an individually communion relationship. Life without this communion intimacy is not really life.
So isn't that a mutually supportive couplet, if I remember correctly?
I think.
Mm. Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's good to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll buy that car. He makes that car sound so nice. I would. Mm.
Okay, Susan, can you read 17? I mean the next one.
218.
Yep.
218. We are not asking you to change yourself or your ways. We're asking you to realize, as in to make real, the energetic fullness of yourself again. The privileged being self you thought was lost was merely set aside.
Does anybody have anything to say about that set of passages?
No.
No.
I don't understand.
Okay, then I guess we're moving right along.
I'm sorry, I thought Pat said he didn't understand. Did I misunderstand?
No, I said there is nothing that I don't understand, is what I said.
Hmm.
Okay. So, since my book's not put together like yours, is the next part Emergent Beings?
219.
No, yeah, it keeps going.
It keeps, okay, then that
there's a big print thing between that says the privileged self. You, oh yeah, no, it's the same. It's in big type. Okay, you got it too.
Okay. Okay, I just got to go find it. Okay. So, whose turn is it to read?
Whoever's after Susan.
That would be Andrew, would it not?
I know.
Nobody else. No Xaviers, no Zorros, no. Okay, 219. Have you ever considered the possibility that as a communion or twinned personal being, eternal being, you are an individual oneness, which is why you can be yourself and live yourself and even awarefully experience and realize yourself, but you cannot know yourself. However, you can know another person, and in that encounter, and perceive yourself. No, I have never considered that possibility.
On that last, I don't understand that last. You can know another person.
Mm-hmm.
That is it.
Fortunately,
you
he's
can't.
Not around to explain that one.
You have to have another point to know yourself.
Of course, but the other point being, I know you, Sharon, so therefore I can know myself.
You can know yourself in relation to me, yes.
So that
I thought that was the purpose of the otherness, so you could part
and that
anyway,
is exactly right.
Yourself.
Yeah, he's got it whether he acknowledges it or not.
So when in communion, personal, eternal, I've become one, and I can't know myself.
You only see yourself as one unless you see your eternal being.
Well,
and in seeing your eternal being, you see yourself.
But he says, in communion, you are an individual one.
Okay, yeah.
But it says, and then you can be yourself and live yourself and even awarefully experience and realize yourself, but you cannot know yourself.
I think he's talking about the human.
That's my question. If he starts it by setting a condition that says you are an individual oneness, he's already put us together, like eternal, personal, eternal, been put together.
Well, he puts you together as a communion oneness.
That's right. And he says, and in that, you can be yourself, live yourself, even the wearable experience, realize yourself, but you cannot know yourself.
Seeing the other.
But that's the point. My point is, the yourself in the fourth line, is that the individual oneness?
Sorry, I just finally found you guys, so I'm not able to help you.
Oh. Well, we can read it over.
Why don't you do that, and maybe I'll be able to help.
Okay. 219. Have you ever considered the possibility that, as a communioned or twinned personal being, eternal being, you are an individual oneness, which is why you can be yourself and live yourself, and even awarefully experience and realize yourself? You cannot know yourself. However, you can know another person, and in that encounter, and perceive yourself.
So I take out the and.
And in that encounter, perceive yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
So who is the what self?
Yeah.
What?
Which self, what are you
speaking?
Question
for me is, who is the one that yourself? Is it the individual oneness, or simply the privileged being? I mean, the personal being.
You mean, which self you perceive?
I'm saying is that he says a whole bunch of stuff about you can be yourself and live yourself, but you can't know yourself.
Right.
That's after having accepted that you are an individual oneness.
So, I
could
only
speculate.
I
think you anyway know yourself only by others.
Yeah, but which self?
I think that it's speaking of the eternal self.
Oh, that's your question. Okay, yeah.
You know, I had a theory that I just throw out there. So, as I break it down, it says, as a twinned personal eternal being. Okay, so as both, you are an individual oneness. Okay, that's an R, that's a state of being, which is why you can be yourself. Okay, being, that's like another functioning thing of being and live yourself, no more functioning, and even awarefully experience and realize yourself. I realize it's getting close there, but anyway, but you cannot know yourself. I was thinking he's talking about the communion one individual oneness.
That's what I think.
You can only know that part to another, because whether if as a communion, as a personal and eternal being, I'm always looking either from either perspective, either or even communion, that's an experience I have, but to actually perceive it or know it, or to, you know, that would be not possible unless I was outside of both of those. I will admit, I do not know what he's talking about.
So if following what was written a little bit further up the page or two, that the communion, functioning communion, is the illuminated being, is it accurate to put the you or yourself substitute illuminated being?
That was where my mind went at first, so I would tend to jump on that boat
and,
with you.
What Andrew said, that puts it together for me more completely. And then functioning as illuminated being, to know myself, I need to encounter and perceive. I need to know another person, someone outside myself.
Yeah, as Sharon said, that point of relativity, yes. Okay.
Yep, that satisfies me.
And who is the next reader?
Who read that one?
Andrew did twice.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're up
that
to Karen.
Would be me.
Okay.
The universe is not a oneness, though it is composed of onenesses and filled with onenesses, not dualities or dichotomies. For everything is individually itself. If you could know yourself directly, that would end your awareful interaction with others. But you and the universe depend upon this interaction, which are not polar opposites, for continued life and expansion. In light of this awareness, reconsider the experiences of your past as previously described.
Yeah.
So, I'm confused about the use of the word oneness, because back here in 212 we're confined by oneness. And we're lost and forsaken in oneness.
Mm-hmm. I suspect that we can in 220 the universe is not a oneness, and though it is composed of onenesses. Is it possible that oneness is there here as individuals, as individuality?
That's my thought.
That's my
thought. That's my thought.
Yep.
A synonym for individuals, but yeah, why he went to oneness. I agree with you, Karen. I would not have written it that way if that's what he means. If that's not what he means, then I, you know.
Because he goes on to say, for everything is individuality itself. Yeah, I agree that the oneness to me was a bit confusing.
Well, since we can't ask him.
I think he had to do it.
Yeah.
I think it had to be that way.
I remember that we spoke about oneness that allows individuality for a long time. Yeah. That's where my mind went.
Right, but in Karen's point, I mean, I think he could have just stuck with the same word he was using before and avoid the one he warned us against. But I don't know if he's saying something different, so whatever.
There's usually a reason why he does something, so.
Yeah, he once got all over me that there's no such thing as a synonym. So I've adopted that as a good, you know, good bit of advice, and I live by that. There's no such thing as a synonym, and find it useful. So when he goes and changes words, I usually try to pay attention.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. For me, I think of it as how my body is functioning. Each cell is its own individual oneness, but yet all of us working together make a one body. So it's like a multitude is in each of the constituent is of the like one, and you could say my body, me, for sense is one, but I'm a multitude of constituents that are all each individual also. So I kind of just looked that into the third option thought.
So in fact, could it be then that there are six or however many of us on the phone right now, that constitutes a oneness?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of constituent parts of that oneness that are all individual.
Yeah, so the third option, you're doing both at the same time, right? Each is individual at the moment, but it's also everybody, it's both together at one. Well, in this case, you just said, like, with six or eight of us on the call. So we're all still individual and one individual, but like you're saying, so it's again an extension of that communion, right? And then when all the parts are communing, it's one, but you could always take each part away and still have its individualness, but it's still the communion.
And then to me, I saw also that when he writes, but you and the universe depend upon this interaction, and that I reminded myself that Rogers always told us that the universe can only react, and in the absence of having another person, there's no reaction going on, and therefore that in one or more of us together, that's where the universe. We function and get to know each other by our the reactions of each other, even in, not in the sense of cause and effect, but I react to Andrew. Andrew speaks, I say something, and he says something, I say something. I have new ideas that I explore, and it's the interaction that, as he says, that the universe relies on between his life and his attention. This previously described, is that when, in light of this awareness, reconsider the experiences of the past as previously described? Well, I could describe how I was done to by my ex-wife. Is that as previously described, do you think, guys? And then this invites me to know myself by communing with that relationship that I had, so that I maybe I'll see it as something other than I got done to.
Yes, you'll see it in a whole different light. Anybody else have anything to add to this one?
No.
Okay, 221. No matter what you believe or what seems obvious, and no matter what you have in mind or intent or do, all of your interactions in life are random, not planned or intentionally caused. For planned and intention interactions would be self-limiting and eventually deplete life and expansion for you and for the universe. But unfortunately, with your deceptive language, you struggle endlessly against random and its expansion and seek intentional.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand that.
We're always going for the cause and effect.
Well, that I understand, but I thought my actions, what I can do is I can be intentional. That's what makes me different in the universe. But universe is random. I didn't think my thought out actions were random.
Can I Something came to mind, Andrew, that may help. Early on in our time with Roger, I remember him saying that we make our choices or decisions instantaneously, and then we spend some time to rationalize why, you know, why I'm doing it, why it's justified.
I remember that. Yep.
And maybe this is it, that he's suggesting that that's what's going on all the time, and that we make our actions, all our interactions in life are instantaneous and without intention, and if we, after the fact, try to apply, because of what language says, what the plan was.
That mean we don't have free will?
No, we have all the free will in the world. And it's just that when we think think of intention. We think we're trying to cause something with our intention.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no cause and effect in the universe, then we're not really causing anything. And that we're trying to rationalize and justify what I clearly know at some level. I can't think of any other way to put that at the moment.
Right.
That's
the wild ride I was talking about.
Well, maybe that is, but it's that if we're to live off the tip of our nose, that doesn't mean I'm going to sit down there and get my intention of what I want to cause, and then I'm going to go live that. Living off the tip of my nose seems to suggest that it is totally random. It just whatever seems to be appropriate in the moment, we do.
Wild.
So what we call intention is really just another constituent.
You keep on breaking up, Misty.
I'm sorry. I'm still all in one piece, luckily.
Oh, no kidding. It must be the satellite again. Well, could you repeat what you just said?
No.
Now there's a little Roger with us tonight, thank you very much.
I said that intentional, if you look at what really is occurring, is you're just putting another constituent into your life, the you, and what comes out is the emergent. But it's not merely the intention.
Oh, wow, if you want to say that, I was thinking that, like, if what we might think our actions are going to lead to a certain result, but if what you're saying is in the universe, it is like all actions of the mind. Hey, Dudley.
Sorry, hey, guys. Hey, Dud.
Maybe that's Roger telling me he doesn't like which way I'm going with this. But I'm going to finish it anyway. If you're saying that all of our actions, though, we think they have effect and stuff, but they're really just benign, and it's really like, it's just another benign, it's the emergent of the constituents that is really what is at work.
Yes.
Is really what's happening. Then I understand the random.
Well, you forget that, or maybe you didn't forget, but there is a constituent that I think implies that there's an action. You can have all the intention in the world, but you got to act on the intention.
That was one of them, yeah.
But he's saying here that much as no matter what you believe, that the language that deceives you into thinking that's what's going on, that in fact, that you are acting spontaneously, like, say, I don't know if it's necessary to put benign in there, you're acting spontaneously. And that's what allows the universe to expand. If it's planned all the time, it will eventually deplete, and that'll be it.
So, Pat, how are you using the word spontaneous? Are you saying that, like, my arm just jerks? It just happened to pull the trigger on the gun? That just happened to be there spontaneously?
No, that you, as a whole entity, your arm isn't separate from you.
Right.
That you spontaneously act, and that even if it seems to me that that can roll down even to oh, what is it there? The things like the signal that my bladder is full.
Neurological impulses.
That I will spontaneously act to deal with that.
Call them involuntary functions.
Well, there is all kinds of things that until the body actually gives up the ghost and decomposes, that there's all kinds of fail states put in to when a situation occurs or is emergent, there's something else that will take place. Karen, sorry.
I don't know if this helps, but I remember talking to Roger several times about the word intentional, and he said intentional is always future. It's like it's mm-hmm. never happening. It's never now. It's always in the future. And the same with planning. So if that's true, then you can plan and intend it and plan and intend. But ultimately, when you finally act, it's what's the word you just used? Spontaneous. In which case, it is random. So, intention and planning is a future-based thing about something that hasn't happened yet. When you actually act, that's one thing. I think I'm getting it. I think. I don't know if that helps.
I agree. All intentions are set out for the future, and this is causing.
Causing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have Roger clarifying intention. I remember you said intentions to be used for accessing constituents, but not for constituents.
Can't hardly hear you.
Huh?
Not for what?
Consequences. Intention could be used. You can have an intention to access some constituent, but that you couldn't use it for create or manifest consequences. That's where the random has to be honored, which I think is what you said. That's what I remember, and I felt clear about intention. I could have an intention to want certain constituents in my life, but those are just constituents, not consequences, not planning happening, you know? Like, well, if I know this, then I'm going to get this. That'll never
mm-hmm.
happen. You have to just have the intention to have a certain constituent that we desire, then honor the emergent random process for the consequence. Does that make sense?
I don't know what you're saying about consequences.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I don't understand what you're saying about consequences.
Well, consequences are what occurs, the random miracles, emergent miracles that our life is filled with, surprises.
Why did you call it consequences instead of an emergent miracle?
That's what he used. He even used the word result, and I said, you can't use that word, because Roger taught me not to use result. And he said, no, see, you don't understand. We can have results, we just can't cause the results. They're emergent results, emergent miracles, they're all the same. So he was helping me get over my language.
In the area of intent, I was reminded myself of something else that may shed some light, and that when we have this discussion about options and alternatives. And alternatives, I think the illustration that Roger used was that he puts together a course outline for a gathering, and he's prepared to do the gathering. But then that frees his mind because he has a plan. But it frees his mind then to be aware of or operate on options that just arise magically out of relating with others. And I think, to me, that illustrates a bit of spontaneity. That alternatives were something that would at least make us comfortable, we knew what we were doing. But options weren't tied at all to the alternatives. And I think that's what he's speaking of here when he's talking about that they're random, that it's an option just seems to arise. It's not there because I thought it out or had a firm intention of that particular action.
Yeah.
But everything is random.
Also,
we are a random outpicturing of what we have done in the past or how we have lived. To me, everything is random.
I think that's what he's saying here, Mr. Simone.
That's Simone.
See, you lost your accent.
So, what I was wondering is, what if randomness is the state of godness in which intentions can unfold and be emergent?
Well, I wouldn't try to put intentions back in there. They don't belong there in this one.
That's your opinion.
Yeah.
But I think it does. I think it does belong in there, and it's with intentions, everything emerges. Emergent is emergent in that state of godness of randomness. Anyway, just my opinion.
But where does intention, do I intend to be God?
Intentions are the energetic whatever, right?
It's what you hold.
Get out of bed. It's your intention to feed yourself, your intention to kill yourself, whatever it is.
Your intention to communion.
There you go.
Which is a plan, and you execute.
All right. Yeah, that's one thing that he says you have to do, is you have to do the communion, or at least be that.
So what if the randomness is just that state of godness?
I think we could go on a long time on this one, but I think that when he says for planned and intention interactions would be self-limiting and eventually deplete life and expansion for you and for the universe. It doesn't say, well, if you do your intentions correctly, it's going to not going to limit. It's saying that's not what's going on. That's what he's
saying. Well, he's randomness is going on.
Yeah.
He's saying intention interactions and not randomness, and so it's planned and intentioned, and it's not allowing for the randomness.
Yeah, it crowds out randomness.
Yeah, it's self-limiting. It says just after. Yeah. Planned and intentioned interactions would be self-limiting.
Right.
And do you understand why that
Absolutely.
Is?
Absolutely. Huh?
You understand why that is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Explain it to those that might not.
I think what I understand is when you plan and have intentions, you are not, allow me that, open for the emergent process. You cut that off because you are always on a plan.
Yeah, and what happens is
planning is another constituent then. But actually, to me, the emergent process is a way of self-evidenting living also.
Yes.
But without planning and without intention.
But what happens when we live merely by planning and intention is that we limit ourselves because we don't see all the possible ways that you could take something that emergent does.
Right.
We're trying to force something and live within our little box. And emergent is outside of the box and expansive. And planned and intention is inside the box, and actually as it goes on, you collapse yourself down to nothingness.
Agree completely. Thank you for
Okay. So I guess it's your turn, Patrick.
There's only one thing that I can tell that I know I've experienced it myself, and maybe others are too, that this whole random without intention, well, then where the hell is my life going if I'm just going to get random, huh? What the hell is all that about?
Well, it's not that kind of random.
But if it's, I think Roger took care of that by quite early on asking us to declare ourselves, to give ourselves an emprise and things like that, and not go out and live it, but just give it to ourselves. And I think if we actually have declared an emprise, that all our actions will be consistent with that no matter what, and it will appear random. It won't be planned and intentional.
All right. Then it becomes self-evidenting if you stay on your declaration.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And that's your one choice, I think. How you declare to
be alive.
Live this life.
Yeah. As you said, how you...
Or be alive, yes.
Right. And that is our privilege. That's why we're called privileged beings.
Okay.
Okay, Patrick, you want to read us the next one?
And show it to others, right?
Well, that's not a stipulation, but if you're truly living it, you can't help but not show it to others.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. All right.
Okay, are we ready for 222?
Yep.
Sure.
If you continue denying random and insist on life and matters being intentionally caused, you will bring everything around you to a oneness and destroy yourself and life. Does it seem wise to continue in this? No.
I think we covered that with the previous discussion.
I think we pretty well did.
Yeah.
Okay, Sharon, you want to take the next?
Yep. Remember, truth must always and in always and in all ways be true, or it is not a truth, and this is a oneness. Therefore, if you are seeking truth as a oneness, you are destroying yourself. Choose understanding, not truth.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, that's all anybody does anyway, but gosh, it's like people try to pass it off as, well, in reality, well, if you be realistic about it.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is,
I see things the way they really are.
No, I do.
It's fine you think that. Yeah, no, right? It's so, like, But I think that's a good thing to keep in mind, that people have just, you know, decided.
Who's understanding, not truth?
Yep.
What's going on here?
Okay, Sharon?
What?
Your turn to read, please.
Okay, I'll do another one.
Oh, did you just do that one? Okay.
No, yep. Simone.
Simone. Sorry, Sharon.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, 224.
Oh, my
God. Right? No matter what you believe about yourself and life, and hope you have an eternal soul aspect of yourself that continues after death, are you willing to understand that your eternal self is quite pleased to have a personal being to provide an awareful life and existence today?
Strange.
Yes, I think Roger proved that.
Okay. Andrew?
Yep.
I think, did we skip Simone?
I don't know. I think we did.
That was random and spontaneous.
Shall I read?
Okay, why don't you read, Simone, and then we'll get back to that.
Okay. Your eternal self is not this or that, doing these things or those things. Your eternal self is just self. There is nothing for your eternal self, to react to or respond to. Only in this world, as a personal being, do you give existence and life to your eternal self. Without you, your eternal self, much like a vital electron, is something that is nothing. You alone transfigure your eternal self into an eternal being, as you truly desire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Everybody got that one?
Yes, that's a nice.
The eternal self is dependent on the personal being, I understand you.
To be active.
Yes. The eternal self is like the universe that only can react. So it is dependent on the action of the personal beings.
No, it's like Roger used to describe it as when the eternal being is not communioned, then it's like it's in a bubble and it can't react or do anything. It has to It has to have a physical, personal being in order for it to commune and therefore be able to engage in physical activities and actions.
Okay. Yep.
Needs to come alive.
Yep.
Yep.
It needs to be born. B-O-R-N-E.
What?
It needs to be born into life. B-O-R-N-E.
Yep.
Okay. Now it's Andrew's turn.
Okay.
226. You can live the intimate relationship with your twinned eternal self openly and self-realized, or by default with very little awareness, which creates a steady stream of problems, difficulties, and afflictions in your body and life. The choice is yours. Are you willing to realize and live who you already are, or will you continue struggling to learn, grow, and develop, and learn lessons so you can evolve and unfold?
We've heard that one a time or two. Everybody okay with that one?
Yep.
More or less.
Yep. Okay, Karen, you're on.
227. The true measure of yourself and life is not about what happens or how you respond to what is randomly presented. It is not about what you do or fail to do, nor is it about creating or controlling outcomes. The true measure of yourself and life is made at every moment in fully living and living your privileged declarations as you truly desire, and being content in that.
Mm. Or at least not discontent.
What did you ask, Mister?
Or at least not discontent.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Okay, 228. Being content is the supreme reality. It is a divine condition of godness. This is not a realization of God or a condition of godness. It is being a condition of godness. Huh? Did I read that wrong?
No, it's kind of bizarre.
No.
You read it the way it says.
Okay, being content is the supreme reality. It is a divine condition of godness. This is not a realization of God.
Mm-hmm.
Cross out the next little bit, and it is being a condition of godness, because the other part throws it off, at least the way I'm reading it. What do you guys think?
It's the operative word is being. It's not simply a condition of godness, it is the condition.
Ah. I see what you're saying.
I would leave that way, or a condition of godness.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's not a realization of God, it is a condition of godness, yes.
I think he's referring to putting the emphasis on being a condition of godness.
I probably should underline that one, huh?
Oh,
okay, so that is the end of that part. And I think that that's where we're going to stop for today. And the next 2 weeks are Christmas Day and New Year's Day, so I imagine we won't get together again until the new year.
That would be the condition of our godness.
Yeah. So we're going to be off for 2 weeks, but if anybody needs to talk or anything else, please feel free to call and or email or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
Check that
sounds
out.
Sounds great.
You want to do
everybody have a great holiday.
Monday night?
Sorry, what?
You don't want to do
several
a classic
people?
Monday night on a holiday?
No, I'm not going to do it
people.
Like Roger did it. Sorry, guys. But
okay.
I
good,
actually,
I'm glad.
I actually want to have holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good for you.
Good on you.
So I'm going to take the next 2 weeks because I have obligations already. And although I will say,
and by the way, that was a condition of Rogerness.
Yeah, and it's not a condition of Misty. So
that's right.
So if you guys want to get together and talk amongst yourselves without me, that's fine too. But
anybody's welcome to call me anytime. If I'm busy, I just hit the button that says I'm busy.
Okay. So is there anything?
Okay, well, that's super.
But great to talk. You guys have a great holiday.
Yeah, Merry Christmas and all that kind of stuff, and Happy New Year, and best of everything.
We get to say it. We'll see you next year.
Thank you.
Yeah, see you next year.
Okay.
Be well.
Happy Halloween.
Okay.
Love to you all.
Meli Kaliki Maka.
Okay.
Bye.
Happy holidays.
Good night for now.
Uh-huh.